Be going to Colossians today. Thanks, Dale, for already
stealing the thunder.
Stealing Colossians. Appreciate that. I apologize in advance a little bit here, in that this teaching is a little bit technical. I tend not to teach teachings like this, but have had to look at a few words today to share what I wanted to share. And we covered a little bit of this a little while back when we were looking at who Jesus Christ is and who Jesus Christ is not. But I didn't feel like we covered it enough to really understand. The teaching is called a very exciting name, Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 20.
That's inspired.
So what we're going to do, we're going to just read those verses, and I'd like to share with you what I believe they say. And I will tell you that they've been taught differently before, but that's fine. Let's just read them first, and I'm going to just share with you what I understand that has been taught before, and it's pretty clear, but First Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in heaven, in earth, or things in heaven." And that's the section that one, you know, look at, not terrible detail, but a little more detail than we did last time. And the way this is taught, and what I call the difficult part of this verse, is where it talks about in verse 16. Because if we read carefully through it, it's talking about Jesus Christ. And then in verse 16, it says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth." And the way that's been taught is that section now talks about God, and then back in verse 18, "and he is the head of the body," it goes back to talking about Christ, so that there's a parenthesis there that talks about God. First it talks about Christ, then about God, then back about Christ. And what I want to share today, and we have looked at it before, I believe, if you'll recall, that's not what I believe the section says. So we're going to look a little bit carefully at those words, and you'll see how a single little preposition can throw off the meaning of a whole section of Scripture. And so we're going to carefully look at this, starting in verse 13. "So who hath delivered us from the power of darkness?" It obviously is referring to Jesus Christ, God, and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So God has delivered us and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And then verse 14, "in whom we have redemption through his blood," is obviously talking about Jesus Christ. "Even the forgiveness of sins." And then it says, "who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." Here the "who" verse in 15 refers to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to give you what E.W. Bullinger gives as a definition for the word "image." It says, "that which resembles an object or which represents it, the likeness." So it's the likeness of something, but it is not the object itself. Okay? And that's very important to understand. Even in the Old Testament, when it says God made man in his image, you know, did that make man into God? No. So it's never the object itself. And that's very clear in a reference in Mark chapter 12. If you'll just keep your hands here, we're going to read Mark chapter 12, a verse there. Verse 16, And they brought it, and this is when they brought the coin to Jesus Christ. And he saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. So the image on the coin was that of Caesar. Did that make the coin Caesar? No, it's kind of obvious. So when it talks here back in Colossians, who is the image of the invisible God, is no way saying that he is God. Just saying he is the likeness of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature or creation. And the image, as we know, we'll keep again, keep your marker here and read 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll do a little bit of jumping around today, so... But in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we know the image is obviously spirit. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the spirit of the Lord. So the image is referring to spirit. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. The same truth is repeated many times. Hebrews chapter 1. So when it says that we're the image, does that make us God?
No.
Does that? No, of course not. So it's obviously a likeness. It's the same word. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, and so forth. So this is again that same use, very similar use, used many times to refer to Jesus Christ as being the likeness or the image of God. And it's talking about spirit. In the Working Translation, the translation of this is called the firstborn of every created being. So it says in verse 7, who, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every created being. And at this point, we've got to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I said I apologize, it'd be a little bit technical today, but I need to look at some of these verses to understand the section. 1 Corinthians 15, 47. It says, the first man is of the earth. Who's that referring to? Adam. Right? Earthy. And the second man, referring to
Jesus Christ,
is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. The same truth. Jesus Christ was, or is, the firstborn of the new creation. He's the first one. Others followed, but he was the firstborn. But Adam, the first man, Jesus Christ, the second man, a new creation started with Jesus Christ. That's very, very important to understand. This word here, creature, in verse 15 of Colossians chapter 1, again, is a word that is katesis is the Greek word, and I'm going to give you Thayer's definition of this word. It says the act of founding or establishing or building something. Jesus Christ was the first of the new life started by him as the second Adam or the second man. With Jesus Christ, God established a new order, if you will, referring to the body of Christ and all those that would follow. So this laying down of something was something that had not existed before Jesus Christ. And that's what this is referring to here. And if you follow that through, you'll see it's pretty interesting. In 2 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there, but it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Jesus Christ was the first, but we, the others, have followed to be a part of that new order, that new creation that was set up in Jesus Christ. That's pretty clear, right?
Yes.
Okay. The other thing I want to mention here is as soon as we see the word creation sometimes, and it's the same thing as soon as we see the word beginning, people immediately jump back in their mind to Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, right? That's immediate, and that is not always the case. Look at Revelation chapter 3. That is not what we're talking about here. And it will become very obvious to you, I believe. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 14 says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, who is Jesus Christ, the beginning of the creation of God." Now, is that talking about Genesis chapter 1?
No.
No, it's talking about the beginning of God's creation, that one, that thing, that new order that was started by Jesus Christ having been created or made or and being born and so forth. So Jesus Christ, it started with Jesus Christ. It's not referring to the original creation. This word creature is used in one other place. I want you to look at it, 1 Peter chapter 2. This is a very interesting use of this word, but it shows you what that word is trying to say here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. And this whole context, if you read the context of this section, which is well worth reading, it's talking about authorities, it's talking about man subjecting himself to governing authorities and so forth. That's what it's talking about. So in verse 13, it says directly, submit yourselves to every ordinance. The word ordinance is the word creation there, katesis, of man, for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king or supreme. So it's talking about ordinances or authorities, governing authorities. That's what it's talking about. See, so when we're talking here back in Colossians, let's go back to Colossians now with that little bit of understanding. So here the context, when it talks about who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of this new creation that God started, is the firstborn of this new authority structure. And that's what the Colossians is talking about. It's not talking about the creation back in Genesis, and that's going to become very clear to you in the next verse, but just thinking through what we've seen so far, it's talking about the setting up of a new authority structure. I mean, if you think about this, you know, this has great relevance to you and me, to those who are of the body of Christ, because this truth of the body of Christ pervades not just this administration, but the next administrations to come, because it says, you know, so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's a lot here. So what God is doing and what he has done in Christ and what he's setting up to do is very relevant to you and to me and what we're going to be involved in for the rest of our eternity. So this is what this is talking about, the setting up of a new authority structure in Christ is what Colossians is talking about. Now we'll read verse 16. This is the more what we call a difficult verse, but it's not so difficult. Now we understand that. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. The problem here is the word by. The word by is used twice in this verse, and it's the Greek word en, which is translated in most times. It can be translated by as well, but you have to understand it in the terms of the context. And if you look at the NIV, it's translated in, not by. And that's literally what it should be here. Now, if you read it carefully, it says, for in him were all things created. What are these all things that we're talking about? We just read it in verse 15. It's talking about this new authority structure. So when you see, when you talk about it, when you think of an authority structure, or a structure that involves rulership, authority, and all these kind of things, what kind of words come to mind? Well, they're all the words in verse 16. All things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created in him and for him, is what that verse reads. So, just reading the verse on its own there, while we're looking at this, let's keep your hands here. Let's read Hebrews chapter 2. I want to read another verse to you. There's a lot of verses in the New Testament talking about the authority of Jesus Christ and the authority that God has given to him in this administration. In Hebrews 2:8, it says, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him." The completion of this will obviously be future. But see, everything was put under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Back to Colossians, please. God's purpose was that God wanted everything, all authority, to consummate in Jesus Christ. That's been the purpose of the ages that God has had in bringing Christ to be born and so forth. And that's the part and parcel, the main reason why the adversary and his gang were a little bit annoyed at having crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the new authority structure, the one that is coming or that is in motion in Christ, has relegated the devil's kingdom to nothing in the future. And that's the reason why they were very disappointed in what they did. So if you keep reading here, let's keep reading. Let's read carefully. For in him, so in Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Notice here, it says in heaven and that are in earth. Genesis chapter 1 is talking about the creation of the heaven and the earth. This is talking about things in heaven and earth. It's not talking about the heaven and earth. Do you see anything in this verse that talks about whales and trees and stars and planets? No, nothing. Not even any mention of that here whatsoever. But what is mentioned here is a new authority structure. And the words used here are very, very, very interesting. Thrones and dominions, principalities, and powers. So, let's just keep your hand here. Let's read Luke 22:30. Luke 22:30. That ye may eat and drink at my table. This is Jesus Christ talking about the future to his apostles. At my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So the word thrones here is the same word, back to Colossians there, that's the word thrones there. So again, the thrones here is talking about a position of rulership, judging, or authority. And that's what Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 is talking about. So that's the word thrones. And it's also the same word where God says, heaven is my throne, earth is my the first stool. Same word. So it's talking about authority and rulership, not talking about the physical creation of trees, plants, animals, whales, and so forth at all. The other word there is the word dominions. And I'm sure you've seen all these verses used in other verses. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, key verse. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm sure it came to mind when we're thinking about this. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll just start at verse 20. That's right, 19. And was the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, in verse 19, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. That's the same word, dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. You see it right there very clearly, that Jesus Christ is set up to be the head of this entire authority structure. Jesus Christ is the head. Only, like Pharaoh said to Joseph, only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Right. God is the only one greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. But as far as that goes, beyond that, he's it. If this is his show, he's running this administration. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the one, you know, which is why many think he's God, but that's not the case. God is the one who gave him this authority, put him in that position as the head of this new authority structure, above all dominion. Right? That's exactly what Colossians is saying. So that word dominion in Ephesians 1:21, same word back in Colossians. And the other word there is the word principalities. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. We saw it in here. It's in Ephesians. We just read far above all principality. That's one place it's used. But 1 Corinthians 15 is another one. 1 Corinthians 15:24 says, then cometh the end. It's interesting. All these verses are in reference to the things that are going to happen and the authority that both God and Jesus Christ have, which is neat. Then cometh the end when he, Jesus Christ, shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. That word rule is the word principality. He would have put all of that down. That whole entire thing that was set up for him in Christ. That's where it was set up. Okay. the last word there in Colossians, actually, sorry, Colossians 2:10. Let's read that to you while we're messing around in Colossians here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. The word principality. You see, he's the head of it all. Jesus Christ is the head of all that authority structure. Right? Now, the last word there in Colossians chapter 1 is the word powers. Right? I think that's the only one we didn't look at. Again, we haven't looked at all the uses of these words, but powers. Let's look at that word in Colossians 2:15. Colossians 2:15, and having spoiled principalities and powers. So those guys are spoiled. Those principalities and powers are spoiled, and a new authority structure is set up in Christ, of which he is head. That word is also used in 1 Peter 3:20. Let's look at that. This is another neat, interesting use. 1 Peter 3:22. Again, all these verses relate to the same topic. 1 Peter 3:22, who, talking about Jesus Christ, is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. That exact same word, powers being made subject unto him. And the word authorities there is the same word as powers in Colossians. Right. Let's go back to Colossians now, please. Chapter 1, which I told you to keep your finger there, but I didn't keep mine there. Colossians chapter 1. So just again, just to summarize that verse, verse 16, for in him, in Christ, were all things created. All things referring that are in heaven and that are in earth, related to the new authority structure of verse 15. Visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created in him and for him, because he is the head, and God is the one who has placed him as the head of that entire authority structure. Jesus Christ is the head. And we know that. And that truth is pervasive through this administration and the next one and the next one, because it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Okay. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to read to you related to this as well. I've been mentioning it, but let's just read it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. It says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, which is talking about a future administration, that in the dispensation or the administration of the fullness of times, he, God, might gather together in one all things in Christ, both of which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So you see how that lines up exactly with when he's talking about the setting up of these authorities and powers in heaven and in earth. Not talking about the creation of heaven and earth itself, which is a totally different event that happened in the Bible. You see, there's nothing in this, in Colossians, that at all refers back to that original creation, when you look at it very, very carefully. Okay, so let's go to, so Colossians, and then, so verse 17, and he, again, so we now we're saying we haven't changed. Like what we're saying, what I'm proposing is we have not changed. We've always been talking about Jesus Christ.
Right.
There's no change here. There's no need for any change here. So we go to verse 17. And he is before all things, Jesus Christ, and by him all things consist. Because he is set up to be the head over everything by God. So he's definitely above all of those situations. Actually, E.W. Bullinger translates this before as being in front of, before, of place, time, or superiority.
Mm.
Right? So that makes it very clear. Right? He is superior to all those things because he's the head. He absolutely has the rulership over all those things because that's what God wanted for Jesus Christ. He put him there. And then if you read that carefully, keeping on reading verse 18, and he is the head of the church. He's the head of the body. See, it naturally follows right from the first part of Corinthians that is talking entirely about Jesus Christ. And all that God has done in setting him up as the head of the body, and then the other rulership, authorities, positions, and responsibilities that are talked about are to be filled. Okay. Verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Obviously, he can't be talking about God because God is already preeminent. God doesn't make himself preeminent. He made Jesus Christ. He gave him the preeminence. Jesus Christ has that preeminence by what God wanted. Ephesians chapter 1, keep your finger here. We're going to read verse 20. We already read it. Let's read it again. I love this verse. 120. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. See, God is, it says, God set him there. Jesus Christ was given the position by God. So that's why when you go back in Colossians, the next verse is clear. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him, Christ, should all fullness dwell. Right? God is the one who gave it to him. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Right back one book. We'll read verse 9 of Philippians chapter 2. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth. You see how it's all related? It's not talking about, it's in heaven and earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, it glorifies God when we say Jesus Christ is the head of everything. It doesn't glorify the Father when you say Jesus Christ is the Father. That does not glorify God whatsoever. It actually diminishes what God has done in Christ. And it makes what Jesus Christ done, Denny, as you were saying before, not to be very interesting at all. Because the man, Christ Jesus, accomplished this. And when we say he's head, it brings glory to God the Father. Calling him God does not glorify God at all. Right? That's something we do not want to do. And verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. See, it's all very, very consistent right throughout that whole section. And all the references that refer to the similar context is very specific to in heaven and in earth. Not the creation of the heaven or the earth. Nothing to do with that whatsoever. So just to briefly look at that, Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, God who has delivered us, and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image, the likeness of the invisible God, the firstborn of this new creation that God set up, and all the authority structures related to it. For in Christ were all things created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all words relating only to authority structures. All things were created in him and for him, because God was setting all of this up in Christ. And he is before all things, he's superior to all things, and by him this is all held together by the head, who is Christ. And he is the head, verse 18, of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him, Christ, should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. So again, I think it's pretty clear from just looking at that section that it is talking entirely about Jesus Christ and all that he's accomplished and all that God has set up in Christ. You know, and we ought to know these things. So when people bring up these verses, say, well, let's take a little closer look at it. Let's look at the words very precisely and see what it's talking about. And I think it reads pretty clearly just as it's written in the verse, right? And so there, hopefully we'll, that's a little clearer. That we did look at it about a year and a half ago or something, but I think I went over it pretty fast. So I wanted to take the time to look at it a little bit more carefully. So there, here you have it.